Today on Real Radio.
We have been made people, creations by the hand of God, to think eternal thoughts. You're not an animal. The Bible says you've been created in the image of God, and so you think deep, eternal thoughts, and you wonder, and you speculate, and you think about, and you ponder about life after death.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a series taken from the middle part of chapter 15 where Paul defends the resurrection and sets forth his case for why the resurrection must be accepted as irrefutable fact in the mind and the heart of the believer. Think of it this way. If you've ever wondered why the disciples suffered persecution, even execution, it's because they saw, they touched, heard, spoke, and ate with the resurrected Jesus of Nazareth. That's why, for nearly 2,000 years now, followers of Jesus have categorized the resurrection as one of the essentials of the faith. In other words, you can't be a true believer without believing and accepting it. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, now continuing his series called, What Are You Talking About?
And we know from our previous studies that the church at Corinth was experiencing a debate. Some in the church believed in the resurrection of Christ and thus the resurrection of the dead according to the scriptures. The Old Testament teaches it, the New Testament teaches it, but there were those who did not believe. Much like the Sadducees in the time of Christ. They were priests, they were religious leaders, but they were of a group of people who did not believe in the bodily resurrection of those who have died. And part one, we studied the first point and the introduction to the concept and the doctrine of resurrection. It is awesome to realize, my friends, and I think if you really put your heart to it, you'll agree that we cannot even begin to pretend that the life that we live is somehow a momentary vapor, and that's all, that this is the entire purpose for living is what we're going through right now, that we live, we eat, we drink, we sleep, we die. We don't believe that. We have been made people, creations by the hand of God, to think eternal thoughts. You're not an animal. The Bible says you've been created in the image of God, and so you think deep, eternal thoughts, and you wonder, and you speculate, and you think about, and you ponder about life after death. For some of you who don't have any concept of God at all, you wonder, is there life after death? What happens when we breathe our last? And we looked at that in part one of our message. Today, as we consider part two of 1 Corinthians 15, in a moment, we'll read it, verses 12 to 21. We talked about the amazing, absolute, crowning display of God's power in resurrection, conversion, and that is the bodily, physically resurrection of the dead. The Bible says all people will rise from the dead, believers and non-believers. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? The Bible says that some will be resurrected from the dead. Listen to this. Technically, it means John chapter 5, Daniel chapter 12, that there will be those resurrected from the dead who will be resurrected to a life without Christ, bodily now. Imagine that. Bodily resurrected to live a life without Christ in hell to experience a forever form of death. The Bible calls that the second death. See, man, you just lost me there. Is that a contradiction? Not at all. In the end, there will be those who die in this life without Christ, without salvation. The Bible says on the day of judgment, they'll be resurrected from the dead, stand before God, and in their bodies, they will be resurrected to live out a living death, if that makes sense. To suffer and go through a living death in an age of timelessness. The word is aeonio post aeonio, epic upon epic of time, where there is no time. And you say, man, that's depressing. Yes, it's depressing. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross and rose again from the grave. So you wouldn't have to go there. Again, don't think for a moment God wants you in that terrible place. He's done everything to keep you out of that place. But thank God the Bible says there's the resurrection of the dead, of those who, having died in this life, believed in Christ, and their bodies are physically resurrected someday, and they'll stand before the Lord, and they will enter into a resurrected, bodily, glorious existence with Christ forever. It's called heaven. It's called, actually, technically in theology, the day of God. I like that. Not days of God, the day of God. And in our own life, we know, for example, when we're having a great time, when things are going wonderful, time seems to go by what? Slow or fast? Fast, just like that. If you're sick all night and you're suffering and it's a difficult time, does time seem to go by slow or fast? Slow. Isn't that something? Think about that. Just the way that we are wired speaks to us and flirts with us, as it were, regarding eternity. We know that God's physical manifestation of his presence is everywhere. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, "For since the creation of the world, the observable universe, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." What is that? "Even his eternal power and Godhead." So what? "So that they," we people, "are without excuse." Down deep inside, you have thoughts about God. In Psalm 19, verse 1, the Bible says, again, a testimony of his physical creation that speaks to us. "The heavens declare the glory of God." That word heavens is the atmosphere, or the observable atmosphere that you have from ground level to the starry space. But watch this. "The heavens declare the glory of God." I say that's true. "And the firmament shows forth his handiwork." The starry host of deep space, for example, the constellations, the stars, the planets, all of it speak about and leave evidence for us to examine the great power of God. So here we go, picking it up. 1 Corinthians 15, in your Bibles, look at verse 12. We covered last time in part 1, verses 12 to 14. We'll finish it off today. "Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty." Here's our study for today. Verse 15, "Yes, and we are found to be false witnesses of God, liars, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. Then also those who have fallen asleep or died in Christ have perished." They're annihilated. There's no existence of them, or they're in hell. Verse 19, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable," pathetic. Verse 20, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep," or those who have died. That word means, again, believing in Christ at the time of death. "For since by man came death," a reference to Adam, "by man also came the resurrection of the dead," a reference to Christ. When we looked at the title of the message, "What Are You Talking About?" we wanted to make sure that we approach this in the very spirit of what Paul was speaking about. In a great, awesome sarcasm, Paul, being Jewish, being brilliant, but speaking into the Greek culture, he argues to them and with them regarding some divine sarcasms. And so we've lifted out of those sarcasms the title of the message, "What Are You Talking About?" He would say to the Corinthian believers, he would say to us this morning, when we speak about things as being either a non-believer or a believer, it is natural for somebody to say to us, "What are you talking about?" When we say, "I'm a Christian," the world should say to us, and I hope they do say to us, What are you talking about when you say that you're a Christian? If somebody says, I'm not a Christian, we need to ask them. Remember, I challenged you last week to do this. When somebody says, I don't believe in God, don't let them off the hook. Don't let them get away. You say to them, you ask them, please, you just said you don't believe in God. What are you talking about? Tell me why. Let people defend themselves. Let people give argument. Why? Because we looked at this very important truth, that Christianity's relevance is anchored to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? We don't have to go around trying to apologize or create an argument as to why we're a Christian. The reason why we're Christians is because we've been convinced. We know better. Based on what? The fact that Christianity's relevance is not based upon a church's name. It's not based upon a movement. It's not based upon a denomination. Isn't that awesome? It is based upon the relevance of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead, and we looked at those arguments for and against. And we looked at three things. Opposition, because the world's going to oppose us on this. I don't believe it. Remember, don't let them get off the hook. Ask them why. But we looked at this. Three things. Opposition can only strengthen the argument. You want to argue? You want to discuss? You want to debate resurrection? Let's talk about it. Let them debate you. You say, Pastor, I'm scared. I don't know if I can do that. Listen, of course you and I cannot do that. You and I are only supposed to present ourselves available to God. The Lord says, I will, and this is great. For those of you who've been on mission trips or gone street witnessing, for example, it's terrifying. See, are you, what? Oh, it is terrifying. Here's the best part, though. When you go and you see, especially on mission trips, it's the best because you'll be on some city square or some street someplace in the world, and we get you all prepared, we get you all prayed up, and we go and we get deployed on some street someplace in some part of the world, and we train you to ask the Lord, Lord, give me a divine appointment. Show me who I'm supposed to speak to. Because there'll be thousands of people. Lord, show me who to speak to. And you guys, those of you who have been, you're going to say, yep. Those of you who have never been, you're going to say, you're nuts. And I'm going to tell you, it is true. Yes, it's true, I'm nuts. And yes, it's true that God is faithful. Because you'll say like that, you'll just be walking or you'll be standing in the city square somewhere in the world. And you'll just say, Lord, just give me that divine appointment. Show me someone. Burden my heart with someone right now who needs to hear. And when you're just talking, praying like that, and someone in the crowd will stand out. And I can't explain it to you. It's almost like they have a light on their head. Like this. And you'll walk up to them. You say, excuse me. Oh, you're from America. Yes, yes. But that's not why I'm here, being from America. I'm here because I'm a Christian. Oh, we don't believe in Christianity. Well, that's the reason why I want to talk to you. Can I ask you why? And they will engage you and they will talk. Number one, you opened yourself up to God. You were willing. Number two, you asked God to create a divine appointment. He's faithful to do it. Number three, listen, you begin to speak. Guess who shows up? Guess who speaks through you? You will begin to share with people and you're the one being blessed. You're the one that's being blown away. You said, man, I didn't know those verses. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Verses come up out of your life that you hadn't remembered for 10 years. And it comes up and it comes out and you go, wow. I mean, you don't say wow in front of the person. You just go inside, Mike, this is awesome, God. And it's effective. It's powerful. And the more you do that, the more exciting it becomes. And the beautiful part about it is you become more burdened for their soul than they are for their own soul. Why? Because God has given his love in your heart for them. It strengthens the argument. We saw also that opposition can only steal the investigation. S-T-E-E-L, strengthen. Whenever we look at the arguments to investigate them, the truth is Christ resurrected from the dead, your argument is steeled against falsehood because you are in the truth. And then thirdly, we saw last time that opposition can only sharpen the faith. When people come against you and say, oh, you silly Christian. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you Christians are. Listen, that kind of opposition only strengthens your faith because you begin to see the word of God at work in your life and you begin to see the power of God's word upon their lives. And the Lord will never let you be hung out to dry as you stand for him. Ever. Ever. He's amazing. He's awesome. Here we go. Point number two in our study this morning. What are you talking about? Number two, it's all about Jesus being raised from the dead. All about Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. We look at it this way. Look at verses 15 to 16. The evidence existed in advance. Write that down, would you? That the evidence existed in advance regarding Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. He says in verse 15, yes, and we are found to be false witnesses of God if Christ isn't risen from the dead, because we have testified of God. In other words, we're saying our message is not from us. That's the great thing. Listen, as a Christian, we're not making this up. The message is from God. We announce that to you, that he raised Christ up from the dead. And if Christ is not risen, look what he says, whom he did not raise up, then we would be liars. If in fact the dead do not rise, verse 16, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. I'm going to ask you Bible students to circle the word there in verse 15, testified. The word to testify is where we get the English word martyr. It means to stand and give testimony. Watch this. Have you ever been to court? Have you ever given testimony? Or have you ever, sworn an oath? You will put your hand on the Bible and you will say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. You are now under oath, and that word is to testify means this. What I'm saying, I'm speaking accurately, and it is so true that I stake my life on it. That's what we're saying. That's why to lie under oath is to sacrifice your life. At least that's how it was in the old days. Today you can get away with murder. But it's to testify. Paul says, I am testifying. And he does this sarcasm in the sense that he's saying, if we've testified that Christ has risen from the dead and it never happened, then listen to what we're doing. We are testifying under oath a lie. We're calling God a liar because the Bible speaks from Old Testament to New that Christ would be risen from the dead and that we are accomplices in this lie one with another, and it's all a big falsehood if Christ isn't risen from the dead. No, church, the truth is the evidence has existed in advance. Very quickly, you guys ready? I want you to write this down. We don't have time to develop it. You can do it later at home with your homework. Jesus Christ testified as the Messiah in advance. Psalm chapter 2. Write it down. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Write it down. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Write that down. The book of Jonah. Write it down. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Write that down. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 60. Am I going too fast? Where did I lose you? Micah 5, verse 2. Isaiah 7, 14. Isaiah 9, verse 6. What did I say after that? I said what? Isaiah 60. Thanks, Tim. Isaiah 60 to really 66, those chapters. And we could go on and on. Start there and see who the Bible is talking about and what will become of him. Psalm 22 says, he will be crucified in his hands and in his feet 1,000 years before Jesus was born. Think of that. The evidence existed in advance that Jesus would be resurrected from the dead, the Messiah of Israel. Because the Bible says that the Messiah would live forever. If you've got a Messiah who's the sacrifice of the world, how is it that he lives forever? He's none other than the one resurrected from the dead. I'm going to ask you to consider a few things. When we talk about being one who testifies, I gave you this last time. I want to give it again. Atheists will argue that they cannot believe in Christianity or even entertain it because they don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They say that because they don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in the Bible, they say, because they don't believe in the existence of God. Just because they say that they don't believe in these things does not make those things not true. That's important to know. So what are we to say to somebody who says, nope, Jesus isn't risen from the dead and there's no evidence for that? What's interesting is you take this Bible, the inerrant word of God, and you apply these rules. They're very simple, you guys. In fact, you would do this with any book. I'm going to give you five things. Number one, ask yourself, ask your friends who don't believe, what does the book say? Forget about your opinion. What does the Bible say? That means you got to read it. I have found most people who criticize the Bible have never read the Bible. Have you noticed that? Read the Bible. It won't kill you. It's the most famous book of all time. You ought to read it. Read the book. Why? Number two, what is that book, in this case the Bible, what is its historical evidence? In other words, is what's mentioned in the book, is it nonfiction or fiction? If you were reading some Stephen King book, you would ask the same question. Is it real or not real? Ask yourself, what is the historical evidence of the book? Now, this is gonna cause you to have to do some fun research, but everybody's to do it. Number three, what does the examination of the book proclaim? You've examined it. What does it say? You ought to write those things down. By the way, I think every individual owes this to their own honesty. Number four, like any book and its claims, you need to examine or interview the witnesses. You can do that. You can cross-examine the witnesses of this book, the Bible. 40 different authors producing 66 different books, and you can interview them in antiquity, in history. Number five, whatever our conclusions are, we will form an opinion or an argument from the data captured or the data gathered. This is normal thinking.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a look at the middle part of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul defends the resurrection and sets forth his case for why it must be accepted as irrefutable fact in the mind and in the heart of the true believer. The title of this series is, quite simply, What Are You Talking About? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at 1 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember, Pastor Jack just recently delivered a series here on Real Radio called What Will Happen to You When You Die? I hope you had a chance to tune in for at least part of that. It was a great series. It really was one of the best series I've ever heard that deals with that all-important soul-searching question. And of course, it really is a terrific tool for evangelism. So if you've ever been challenged to explain the gospel in simple terms to somebody, but you kind of came up short, you didn't know really where to begin, start by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and then listen to Pastor Jack's four-part series, What Will Happen to You When You Die? How? Here's how. We'll send you Pastor Jack's series, What Will Happen to You When You Die? In a four-CD set for your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. I'll say that again for you. For your contribution of any amount to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's four-part series, What Will Happen to You When You Die? We'll send you the CD version. You're going to like it a lot. Call, click, or write. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Or if you like using the mailbox, send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, of course, all of our contact info can be found right there on the web at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.